I invite you to welcome with me to the stage for the first time in this capacity, the Reverend Robert Yarn.
Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Brent Hall, for this opportunity to speak today. Thank you to all of you for being Unity of New York and this vortex of amazing energy. Yes. I just love it here. I have my family watching on Facebook from like all over the world. I've got family here. You're all my friends, so this is a blessing. I want to just take a moment and take this in. So. And I know today is a beautiful day. And we all will share energy, will learn and grow, and go forth from here, lifted up into magnificent lives. Thank you, God, so it is. So, I was especially tickled that Zoe Lyons-Davis was the singer today. She's the person I would have picked. And it was done for me. She kind of is Unity of New York to me. In fact, she sings our theme song, right? And that song, when she emailed me a few days ago, she had a list of songs that were possible, and I said, could you please, right before I come out, sing I Hope You Dance. I love that song. And what I think I love about it is the message that it basically gives, which is live. Life may be challenging at times, yes, but I hope you dance. And that is something that I want to be hearing right now. I don't know if you've noticed, but the general tenor of the message out there right now is not that. I would say it kind of boils down into three parts. Be afraid, stay home, give up. Right? And I'm looking for something more positive, not just in my media diet, but to access that divine realm where those life-affirming thoughts originate. When we speak about the Word of God, it might seem like something dusty or ancient on a shelf. But today, I want to speak about receiving the living Word of God, which I see as having two components. Divine revelation and divine inspiration. It's sort of like in that song we had lyrics and music. The revelation is that information. The inspiration is the energy. Now, apart, they don't do a lot. So in that song, if I just came up to you and said, hey, I hope you feel small next to the ocean. Right? I could say that a million ways, because as actors, we know those lines can be delivered with any energy or none at all. On the other hand, if I came up to you and just started humming that tune, that's pleasant, but I have no idea what you're trying to communicate. But when you put the two together, each of the important words is lifted up on a high note, stretched out, there's a band supporting it, there's energy, and it flies and moves us. It certainly moves me, and I understand that we're people dancing today. Yes. So, that's what I'm talking about today. We want to receive that. Now, revelation is that information again. Inspiration is the energy, and we also need both of them. If I just have a message with no energy, I should move to Florida. When? Yeah, we'll see. I procrastinate. And if it's all energy with no guidance, then I'm sort of like Tony in West Side Story. Something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. Not so much, Tony. Spoiler alert. When we put the two together, that's where the magic happens. We need both. We need the direction and the energy, or the map, if you will, and the gasoline. Now, in Unity, we don't give you the map. We give you tools so that you can access the divine realm and find your path. So, I won't be giving you the Word of God today, sorry. But I will give you some tools that you can use to receive the Word, divine revelation and inspiration. Now, inspiration is a word we use a lot. It means to breathe life into. Revelation is not something we speak about a lot in our common everyday. So I'd like to give some famous examples. This is the fourth Sunday of Eastertide, leading up to Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit revealed itself to the apostles. Right now, we are in the middle of Ramadan, when Muslims believe that the Word of God was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. Now, Moses had probably the most famous revelation of all time, receiving the Ten Commandments. We've all seen the movie. And we may think that that kind of revelation in the booming voice is what it's all about, but that's not my experience. Consider Myrtle Fillmore, who received guidance and new ways of seeing the world. The information she received came relatively quietly and over time, and she must have also had inspiration because here we are today. She co-founded Unity. Thank you, Myrtle. All of these people and countless others didn't just wake up and get revelation like the morning paper. They had prepared. Muslims believe that on the first night of Ramadan, the book was opened to a ready soul. I like that. Moses, Myrtle, Muhammad, Gandhi, King, all were ready souls who had done the spiritual work necessary to tune into this higher voice, to get beyond normal ways of thinking and being and see differently. Now, we should admire these people, but let's see them as guides. We don't outsource our spirituality here. Jesus, as we say, is our way shower, steering us along our path, not someone who did the work for us. Other figures can also be seen as guides on our spiritual journey, experts showing how we too can connect to a higher power and its message. In the 13th century, the Sufi poet Rumi said, "Each moment contains 100 messages from God." So each moment contains many possible revelations from God. The question is, are we hearing them? And if not, how can we? So I see three elements that the masters have used, which we can use as well to help us in the process of accessing divine revelation and inspiration. Three elements of the practice, all beginning with the letter P. And can you guess the first one?
Prayer.
No. Pause. If we want to tune into the voice of God to receive direction and energy, we need to hit the pause button to remove ourselves a bit from our ordinary human life. Moses went up Mount Sinai. Jesus went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Muhammad went into a cave for a month. And Myrtle stayed at home for 2 years doing that spiritual work. All these people got away from their ordinary lives. They returned eventually, but first they paused. Now, why do we need to pause? Well, the ego may be an illusion, but it's extremely convincing and compelling, better than Game of Thrones. And it distracts us from any higher messages as we fill our lives with content, things to do, places to go, thoughts galore. Unity tends to focus on the quality of our thoughts. And this has been an extraordinary contribution to society, helping us catch the negative patterns we repeat in our minds and choose new ones. But what about the sheer quantity of thoughts? This wasn't so much of an issue in the Fillmore's time. There was no television. No telephones at all, not to mention smartphones. Nothing to look at in the elevator. Probably no elevators. No podcasts in our ears, no internet. All of that input has crept into every realm of our lives, so our minds are always being fed. We can always distract ourselves every moment of every day with more choices than ever in human history, all of it external content. No wonder they say our attention span is now shorter than a goldfish. The content itself isn't necessarily a problem, but the amount, I believe, is. Because God speaks to us in a still, small voice, remember? And when is our mind ever still enough to hear? When do we experience the spaciousness of life? In A New Earth, Eckhart Tolle says, most people's lives are cluttered up with things, material things, things to do, things to think about. Their lives are like the history of humanity, which Winston Churchill defined as one damn thing after another. Their minds are filled up with the clutter of thoughts, one thought after another. This is the dimension of object consciousness that is many people's predominant reality, and that is why their lives are so out of balance. Object consciousness needs to be balanced by space consciousness for sanity to return to our planet and for humanity to fulfill its destiny. The arising of space consciousness is the next stage in the evolution of humanity. Now, this is relevant to new thought because all of that clutter drowns out the new thoughts. Like on a remote control, we want to hit the pause button, take a mental break. If you think about it, we live most often in fast forward or rewind, rushing to where we're going, or reviewing, resenting, or cherishing the past. So we want to suspend that mental activity for a bit and pause. Now, a clarification. By pausing, I do not mean numbing out. That is the stop button. I'm talking about a fully alert pause, being in life with all its sensations, not trapped in our thoughts. Eckhart Tolle again says that generally we live in our minds here, and to escape the chaos, we go down in consciousness to the level of plant or rock. We veg out or get stoned using any number of numbing agents available to us today. But the goal, he says, is not to go down in consciousness, but to rise, to transcend normal human consciousness and bring in that universal energy, the divine, what we call God. Meditation is the most obvious form of pausing, and those that do it regularly reap tremendous benefits, like better physical and mental health, greater receptivity to optimism, better sleep, and more. The Dalai Lama famously meditates for 3 hours a day. And when someone asked, what do you do on a busy day? He said, well, 4 hours, which is smart. Gandhi meditated for weeks before deciding to lead the salt march that led to the nonviolent overthrow of the British Empire. Now, the history books don't focus on the meditation that came before the idea, because to them that doesn't matter. But I would say, on the contrary, it was essential. A big idea came after a big pause. But don't worry. We don't have to meditate for 3 or 4 hours a day or for weeks on end. Taking many brief pauses is better than doing none at all. We can practice in little bouts and sprinkle them throughout our day. For example, before and after taking in the news, watch your breath for 15 seconds. Feel your heartbeat. Be present. Or when you're out walking, focus on just your sensations for a portion of the walk, like from here to the next lamppost. No words, just sensations. When you're in line or in an elevator, rather than look at your device for external input, consider taking the time to pause. And for extra credit, try not thinking normal thoughts, but taking in the environment as pure energy, the way a baby might. That's a pause. Doing any of these things during the day starts to make pausing a habit and has the added benefit of making you conscious of your thoughts rather than simply going on automatic. We want to get back to the point where we can use our mind as a tool rather than our minds using us. So we pause. And now the second P is
prayer.
Yes. Remember, Jesus told us when you pray, enter into your inner room, and having shut your door, pray to your Father, the One, in secret. I think he's talking about removing yourself from the world, about that pause. Once we've paused the outside world, paused our old ways of thinking for a bit, during the pause, we can choose a new direction. We can remind ourselves of truth, remember who we really are. Now, in unity, prayer is not beseeching. It's lining our minds up with a higher truth than the one we're living in and affirming it. We might say to ourselves, there is divine order in the universe, and I am part of that. Or if my mind is spinning about something, I might say simply, I am here. And since the name of God is I am, it has a double meaning. And then there's a prayer that I use from time to time. It's possible I'm wrong about this. Sometimes just opening up to another possibility is all it takes, because that crack of openness allows a new idea to fall in. The word needs a space to fall into. The pause opens that space. The prayer welcomes it in. Some activities contain both the pause and the prayer. I would include coming to church. Chanting, Tai Chi, yoga. Find your practice to recenter in truth throughout the day. So we pause, then pray. Dramatic pause. The final P, play. The remote control was on pause, we prayed. And now we're ready to go, so we push play, not fast forward or rewind. We move into the present moment, and how great that that button says play on it. Thank you. We don't have to be holy and serious all the time just because we think that's the spiritual way to be. We think of great religious figures as stoic. But look at Rumi and the whirling dervishes. The Dalai Lama laughing. St. Francis celebrating nature. Life is full of joy. We may need to pause and pray, pause and remind ourselves to then find that joy again. Rumi said, in order to understand the dance, one must be still. And in order to truly understand stillness, one must dance. Movement that emerges from stillness, from a deep place, that's life in its fullness, and the world craves that living example. As people inquire, know, I love to dance. I don't care if I'm any good, I just have to do it because I love it. Dancing is always on my list of top 10 things that bring out joy, along with my dog. Yes, I have a dog. Blazer reminds me of joy every day and forces me to move at times I want to stay home feeling sorry for myself or vegging out. He forces me to pause my normal routine. His joy reminds me of the sweetness in simple things, and my thoughts change. Once I'm out, his joy affects me, his desire to interact with and play with the world. I receive divine inspiration, not revelation, of course. But when I'm out with him in that inspired state, I'm open to new ideas, and very often they show up. He is a spiritual guide for me, a spiritual guide dog, if you will. children too. Jesus said you have to be like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because kids see life as play, as the invention that it is. As the song says, I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. To be honest, there have been times in life when I definitely lost that sense of wonder, and for long stretches. Then, around the year 2000, my father fell from a ski lift and was in intensive care for 90 days. Miraculously, he emerged and lived another 11 years. The following year, 9/11 happened, and I was in New York. These things started to just wake me up and say, what am I here for? And acting and saying other people's words wasn't cutting it. I was doing spiritual work at the time, going to groups. I was meditating 30 minutes a day. And this song idea came to me. And I'd never had that before. It was like a tune and some words. And I brought it into this group I was attending, and it resonated with them and it resonated with me. And I started writing what would become a one-man musical and getting into this new art form of writing songs for the theater. And it turns out in the theater, you need perfect rhymes. So as I was walking by the Barnes & Noble in Chelsea, I thought to myself, you know, someday you should really buy a rhyming dictionary. And I heard, how about that? So I stopped, turned around, went in, and for $5, purchased something that changed my life, because as I walked around New York City now, I was looking up rhymes. At home, at work, sneaking it out. I was investing in that joy, so much so that I went on an artistic retreat called Art Word Bound. And while there, I met someone, we started dating, and guess where he went to church? Unity of Humor. Yada, yada, yada. I became a board member, got to be the president, started speaking to you all from the heart, and various people, including Zoe, said to me, have you ever thought about being a minister? And I had, so that resonated. And I enrolled in One Spirit. And just before I started classes, I was single and I went on a dating event. There were 6 men around a table who'd been selected to be together. And at a pause in the conversation, one man said, what is your spiritual life like? And I had a pretty good answer. I mean, it was almost not fair. I was going to seminary the next day. Well, 4 years later, we're still together. And he said, right. Now, I say all of this not because I'm some kind of master in receiving the word and acting on it, but that rhyming dictionary moment is one where, first of all, I was doing the meditation. I received the message and acted on it. Such a seemingly small thing that's led to my full life. So, play. This is, in fact, the step where we act on the revelation and move into it. We don't stay in pause mode indefinitely. That's why we come back from retreats. The world needs new thoughts. The divine revelations that come through you to come into this world. It's not up to us to decide what matters. A phone call you make could lift a person's spirits in a way that creates a ripple effect through their community. We don't know. It's not our business. Saving the world is great. And Moses, Muhammad, Myrtle, Gandhi, and King seemed to be in that business. But the world is where we are. It is addressed where we are. Divine revelation and inspiration won't come from anyone outside of us. We must be the ones to access a better way, to channel God, the divine, and then live it. God wants to come into the world right now, especially. Can we pause, pray, and play today? Pause, pray, and move forward from a higher place. Can we be open to receiving the word of God today and bringing it into the world so that the word becomes flesh? We answer that question not with language, but with our lives. So, let's breathe. We're here today to bring our highest selves into the room, to listen for the voice of Spirit of God, to feel that divine energy. We are informed by that, and so we bless each other today and call this day good. Thank you, God. And now, let's play. Thank you.
Perhaps specks of light mixed in,
Are dots moving? Watch closely now, like you would watch the Milky Way. Breathe, smell, feel the sensations on your skin. Be with your five senses now, like a baby or an animal would do. Completely in the moment, no words or concepts, no future or past, just these sensations and the present moment as we enter the beautiful silence. As you hear words again, notice thoughts showing up, nod to them. No need to entertain any of them, simply be. And now imagine yourself at age 4, about to go on an exciting trip, full of joy and anticipation because for one day, you get to be an adult in 2019, spending money, hailing cabs, asking people to do things. Wherever you are, this is a wondrous city. This is a wondrous future. And explore it from that child perspective. You are on a one-day vacation. And this is glorious. Back into this room, this theater. And that child can collect those items from the attendant because those are fun things to play with. They're part of this adventure. And so you choose to take back what you need for the day. And today is full of play, exploration, deep wonder at your existence. And again, we call this good. We are home.